You may be seated.
We did this last week. It's just kind of a introduction to the sermon that we're going to have in a few minutes. We'll go back and do a couple more worship songs after that, but it's just something so that you can begin thinking through this as we get ready to approach it. But we're going to be talking today about such a great salvation. We've actually read these verses now for about 3 weeks, so we'll move on from them next week into 5 and on, but right now this week we'll still be in 2, 1 through 4, but it's amazing. This holiday right now is about giving gifts, right? We give gifts to our loved ones. We give them things to let them know we appreciate them and we love them. But sometimes we give them a gift and you get that look. I don't know if you've ever gotten that look before, but they look at you like, why did you buy me this? And there's times where, if we're not careful, we give that look kind of to the salvation that God is offering us. It's a neglectful look. It's almost a rejection in the way that we look at it. So today we're going to talk about such a great salvation and what it might mean for us if we don't properly receive it in the way that it should be. So we're going to read these verses and then we'll go back and do some more worship and then we'll get into our message in just a few minutes. But it says, therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and minds for your message today. Help us, Lord, to worship, to hear the words of the song that help us to grow in our admiration and love for you. And Lord, help us to be ready today to receive the gift you give us in the person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's continue on with our worship.
Good morning. Told you in the teaser, I guess we'll call it. I don't know what we're calling that little section in the beginning, but we're going to be talking about such a great salvation. It's funny, I made sure I folded up this mask when I laid it here on the desk because or on the table because the most discussion that we have ever had on a Facebook post after a sermon was when I left one that was crumpled up and people were trying to decide if it was a hippopotamus or a camel or what it was. Which tells me that you guys need to start paying attention more. But such a great salvation is what we're going to talk about today. I talked about the fact that we've all given gifts sometimes that don't quite get received the way we thought that they might. I remember when my kids were about 6 years old, I think it was that Christmas, I decided I was going to go out and buy them 2 remote control vehicles. And I had always wanted one when I was a kid. We never could afford them or never did have them. So I went out and bought 2 really nice ones and gave them to them. And we saved it. It was like the last thing that they got to open that Christmas because it was going to be the hit. I knew it was going to be the hit. They opened the bags or opened the boxes and looked at them and oohed and awed for a second, and then asked me if I would make a fort out of the boxes that I had used that my wife's dishwasher came in. They completely neglected the greatest gift that I had spent all the time and all the money on. The next thing I know, they spent weeks making me repair these stupid boxes and this fort that they had in those cars just set there and on the charger. Ultimately, I played with them far more than the kids played with them, but there was this neglect or rejection or failure to appreciate what I had given them. And sometimes we're being warned here in Scripture about what happens if we have that same attitude towards Christ. You have to think about that. Not very hard. Before we start to realize that there are times where other things in this world, other things that are offered to us, are the thing we're far more interested in than Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has offered us. Certainly this year I think we've seen that, but we see it every year. It's not new. It's not COVID-driven. It's sin-driven. And because we're sinful people, our attentions, like we talked about last week, will just shift. They'll go away. Well, like Mark talked about a couple weeks ago, that drift, that natural current of the world will just pull us in a direction apart from God. So when we see these words and these verses, you know, we have talked about paying attention. We've talked about drifting. And today we're going to talk about something called neglect. Neglect is a really strong word. It's a strong word used here. It's a strong word used in our lives. You know, when we think about parenting, you know, in our world today, if you don't properly care for your children, you can be charged with neglect because you failed to appreciate, failed to deliver, failed to protect, failed to embrace, failed to do basically just to cease doing harm to your children. It wasn't that you hurt them, it's that you neglected them. And in neglecting them, you did harm to them. And to us, we have to remember that if we neglect this great salvation, we're doing a disservice to God. We're doing harm to him. This is something he gave us. And when we neglect it, there's a hurt that comes with that. There's a feeling of a disregard or dishonor, disrespect. We'll talk more about that too, but I'm going to read our verses, then we'll pray and jump into the remainder of our message for this morning. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, remember we talked last week about the fact that much of the law was delivered to men through angels, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, which means they saw, Israel saw how they were punished, how people were punished or had received retribution for disobedience to God over the course of their time. Well, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that today we learn not to neglect this great salvation that we have. What a gift, Lord, that you have given us. And today we celebrate Valentine's Day, where we tell others that we love them, that we appreciate them. And Lord, I pray that today we tell you that we love and appreciate you, that we love and appreciate the price you had to pay for us. Help us, Lord, not to neglect such a great salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look for a definition of neglect, you can see it in verb or noun form, but in verb form it means to give little attention or respect to disregard, to leave undone or unattended especially through carelessness. As a noun, it's an act or an instance of neglecting something or the condition of being neglected. That's from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's not particularly biblical, but when you look at the biblical definition, the Greek word is amaleo, and it means to not think about, and thus not respond appropriately to. So that's just a disregard. It's just a blatant disregard for something in our lives. You might think of it this way. It's a lot like taking something for granted. There isn't a single person in this room that likes feeling taken for granted. We all feel neglected when that happens, like our feelings were neglected when we're taken for granted. to not think about and thus not respond appropriately to. It's amazing how much that is kind of the theme throughout these first few verses, because drift is really to not think about. Not to think about where you're going. To mindlessly just go with the flow wherever that happens to take you. Not paying attention is just simply not to think about. You just didn't think about it. It's like someone that goes out on a weekend shopping and thinks nothing of the bank balance. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I didn't realize I spent near that much. That's the imagery we have here. So when you neglect such a great salvation, you take it for granted. You just disregard it. It just doesn't affect your day-to-day life at all. It just is something that every now and again, something pops up to make you reminded of it, but you have neglected it. You have let it go away. I would argue that this year has been exceedingly prone to that. Because there are so many other things to fill up the conversation. I can't tell you the last time that I had a conversation with a professing Christian that's centered around Christ in the last 12 months. Most conversations center around either viruses, social issues, or political issues. They do not center around such a great salvation as this. And they need to. So we have got to stop neglecting such a great salvation as this. It deserves more of our time. The argument that you see here in Scripture is a classic. If this is true, then this must be even more true. That's kind of the logic you see playing out here. For instance, I love cheesecake and I love dark chocolate. Which means that if you have cheesecake with dark chocolate on it, I'll love it even more. I love travel and I love my wife. If I get to travel with my wife, I love her even more. Paul is speaking to Jews here, Jews that believed that the word of the law had been delivered to them through angels. They also believed that those who ignored such utterings from the angels suffered punishment and received retribution. So if Jesus is higher than angels, how much more important should his words be to them? If this is true, then this is even more true. It should be that way for us too. If the things of this world concern us, if the things going on around us concern us, the things of God should concern us even more. Because he has more authority than any person we are listening to or following or anything else. You see the point here. The point is, if neglecting the words of angels was bad, neglecting the words of Jesus was even worse. And he wanted to drive that point home to them. So he uses three real main ways of saying that. He says, don't drift. Make sure you're paying attention. And don't neglect. I mean, he says it three times in four verses to get the point across. And still yet, as you'll see throughout Hebrews, he has to continuously bring up this fact. Because we are sinful people. We will naturally be drawn away. We will naturally, our attention just shifts. And the next thing you know, what fills up our hearts and minds is not the great salvation that we have been given by God. It becomes something else, some other thing. It's the reason why when you look at most of the things in the world, it's not necessarily that the activities that we engage in are wrong in and of themselves. It's the fact that we allowed them to become the main point of attention. They become bigger than God. And for the Jews, much of their tradition, much of their learning over the course of time involved these kind of practices, but they ignored the person who put the practices in place. We see the same thing in today's church. Sometimes we're so married to the traditions that we have in a service or the way we conduct a service that we come to do those things. And if those things change, suddenly we can't see our God because our traditions were more important than God was. And he reminds them, don't ignore these words. Imagine this, if you want to take another way of thinking about it. If neglecting the instructions for salvation was bad, which was the law and the way that they were supposed to follow God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. If neglecting the instructions for salvation was bad, how much worse was neglecting the means of salvation? Because the law was not the means of salvation. Jesus Christ is the means of salvation. But do we fall victim to that sometimes? Do we try so hard to behave that we forget about the Savior? That we start to congratulate one another when we act a certain way, but we're neglecting such a great salvation in it. We have dismissed the means to salvation and replaced it with a process or the instructions for it. It's like playing with an empty box when something great is waiting for us. What does it say? What does Scripture say about this salvation? Why is it so important? Well, in Romans 5, 8 through 9, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. It means that even when we were at our worst, when we do the worst thing you could possibly think of, at that moment is what Christ died for. Died to cover those sins, and once we've been justified by the blood of Christ, we now are saved from the wrath of God. We talked about these verses last week, John 3:16 through 18. John 3:16, of course, being very familiar. 17 and 18 being something less quoted, but just as impactful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just a quick caveat on this, or a little statement. Why did he not come to condemn the world? The world was already condemned. The curse was pronounced in Genesis 3. We were already condemned. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It tells us that Christ paves the way for our salvation, that he is. I used the analogy yesterday in a funeral setting that it's like we're all in a boat headed for deadly waterfalls. The natural current is going to take us over those waterfalls. We have no way to save ourselves, and God steps out onto the shore and throws us a rope for salvation. And that rope is the person of Jesus Christ. And if you neglect it, you do so at your own peril. You can feel free to go over the falls, but it won't be because you didn't have a rope. It'll be because you chose to ignore it. And Paul is saying here, don't neglect such a great salvation. Acts 4:12 tells us there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We say we are saved from sin, but this is only part of the story of such a great salvation. We are saved from the wrath of God toward sin. We are set free from sin, but more than that, we're set free from the penalty of sin. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why did he have to become sin? Because sin must be punished. It must be. So if you still had yours, you will be punished for it. So someone had to take your sin on them, receive the punishment for it, and give you something in exchange that allows you to escape that wrath, that punishment. And that's what Christ did. He took your sin upon Him. He who knew no sin became sin so that you could inherit His righteousness. Why would you neglect such a great salvation as that? Isaiah 5, 11, or 1 through 11, or 53, 1 through 11. It's probably one of the most ignored sets of passages, even book, really, in Jewish teaching even today, because they recognize the parallels of what is written here and who it points to. It says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not." We neglected him. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment was taken away. He was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for the guilt, for our guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Christ, who knew no sin, became sin. It's as if we were facing the punishment ourselves, and Christ steps in front of us, taking it upon him. The writer of Hebrews is trying to help believers understand what exactly God has accomplished through the punishment that fell on Christ. There is not primarily an evangelistic message here in Hebrews. It's more discipling in nature. The writer wants us to grow in our understanding of perseverance, holiness, gratitude, by developing an even greater understanding of exactly what has been accomplished through Christ. Remember the story from the intro of the message. If this great gift of God, His Son, has gifted us deliverance from the wrath of God against us, what does it say about our heart condition if we neglect that gift? If we choose something else over it? When my kids rejected or neglected the gift I gave, I was crushed. I was more than that. It revealed that the gift was something I wanted to give, but they didn't want to receive. They would take it because it was given, but they didn't really recognize any need or desire for it. They said thank you. But it didn't mean anything to them. We should be very careful that that's not the way that we receive Christ. Imagine if it was. If we dare not disregard what angels say, dare we not disregard what Jesus himself says? That's what he's saying to the Jews and really saying even to us. There are people today that are professing believers that would probably listen closer to someone telling them that an angel told them something than that Christ did. Just look at the description offered in the verses that we will read next week. Hebrews 2, 5 through 11 says, "For it was not the angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care about him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet.'" That's never said about angels. "Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we could escape that punishment. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." We have one source, Christ. Nothing else. There's nothing that we should listen to more than we listen to the words of Christ. This gift deserves our full attention. We should underline full. It's not a side glance. It's not a when I get around to it. It's not a every now and again it comes to mind. It deserves our full attention. We need to pay much closer attention. We need to be sure we don't drift away from this message. Because if we neglect such a great salvation as this, how shall we escape? We cannot save ourselves. God has thrown us a rope of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Let us not be found neglecting that gift. Such a great salvation as that is available to you today. And it's available because of the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. But Lord, more than anything, I thank you for your Son who stood in my place, who became sin for me, took my punishment upon himself, and now today I can be forgiven, redeemed, and restored. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that has not made that decision, that today would be the day that they choose to put their faith in you, to place their trust in you and what you have accomplished. Lord, when we are covered by your blood, we then stand in front of God, forgiven. Help us, Lord, today to accept this gift that you have given us on a day where we celebrate the love we have for each other. Help us, Lord, to celebrate the love you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go to this time of invitation, if you'd like to come forward and pray, you can come forward and pray up here. This serve as an altar during this time of invitation. If you'd like to come forward and pray with me, you can do that. If there's a particular need that you have, please make that known and we'll pray for you as well. I would invite you to, while you're standing here today, to remember those in our family, our church family, that are struggling with different things, whether that's health illnesses or loss or grief. Be sure and be praying for them, but also be praying for you. Are you neglecting such a great salvation as this? And if you are, turn your eyes back towards Christ. Give Him your full attention. He deserves that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Last week we kind of started this little teaser or whatever of the sermon just to kind of get us in our thinking through the process of what we're going to talk more about, and hopefully it helps us even when we're doing our worship songs to really open our hearts, to begin to be really truly prepared to hear His message. Today we're going to be talking about such a great salvation, and today is Valentine's Day, of course. We celebrate that by getting gifts for loved ones, and I'm sure all of you at different times, and I know I have at different times, had a gift that I bought that I handed to someone, and they give you that look, you know, the look that says, "Why in the world did you think I would like this?" And that attitude, that consternation that comes across their face, reveals to you something about this gift, that this gift is not being received the way you had thought it would be or the way you intended it for it to be. And for us, if we're not careful, that same look can sometimes come across our face when we begin to talk about our salvation. It's a great gift from God. It's a symbol of His love. And sometimes we're thinking to ourselves, we wish it was something else. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to be on the same four verses that we've been on for a little while now. I'm going to read them and then I'll pray for us, and then we will finish our worship set and then go to our sermon. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, it was attested to us by those who heard, and while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various gifts, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed by His will." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word, for Your promises, and for Your Son. I thank You for His sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that today, as we go through the remainder of our songs and then we get into the sermon, Lord, that our hearts are open and receptive to the gift that You have given us. Help us, Lord, not to neglect such a great salvation as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you would stand up.
I was telling them this morning, I make sure I fold this up and lay it here in the right place, because the most discussion that I've ever seen online after one of our messages was when I just carelessly threw it up there, and people were talking about whether it was a hippopotamus or a camel or what kind of stuffed animal I had on the table with me. But which just tells me that we need to pay more attention. but tells me too how easily distracted we are. And we are. We are people that are very easily distracted. Today we're going to talk about such a great salvation, but really we're going to talk about the whole statement there, which is not to neglect such a great salvation as this. Because oftentimes we do. We neglect the salvation that we have in the Lord. Talked about it the little intro earlier about giving gifts that sometimes aren't received the way we thought, you know, they would be. For me, I remember one Christmas, particularly when my kids were about 6 years old, I thought, you know, I'm going to go out and buy them remote control vehicles, and they're going to love them, because I always wanted one when I was a kid. So we couldn't afford them. So I'm going to go buy these really nice ones. They were big ones too. I mean, they were pretty tall. They weren't little small ones. And I thought, these are going to be great. They're going to be the gift of Christmas. And so we saved them for last. We made them open them the very last thing that Christmas. And they tore through everything else. And there was some stuff that was in some bigger boxes. And Carmen had gotten a dishwasher for Christmas, which I know you're not supposed to do that. But that's what she wanted for Christmas. That's why she got it for Christmas. And then we got to their big gifts. And we set them in front of them, and they tore into them, and they looked at them, and looked at me, and looked back at the gifts, and slid them over to the side, and asked me to make a fort out of all of the empty boxes. And they played with those boxes for months. I went through duct tape all over the place trying to make it back where they could play with it again. Ultimately, the only person that ever played with those remote control vehicles was me. They didn't care. It wasn't something they needed. You know, they just didn't regard them. They weren't even on their radar. You know, for them, it was, it didn't even matter. I might as well have bought them coal. It wouldn't have made any difference. But sometimes, you know, we neglect something that's given to us in a similar way, because neglect here means lots of things beyond just neglect. But we have to remember that in Scripture and in life, neglect is a very strong word. For instance, one of the laws that you can break as a parent is to neglect your children. And if you neglect your children, that can even result in them being taken from your home if you neglect them, which really just means you fail to care for them, that you fail to be attentive to them, that you fail to love them in an active way. You can fail to protect them. But those are all a portion of neglect. So when we talk about neglecting a great salvation, we have to remember that it encompasses a lot of those same things. And sometimes we get this great gift from God, and we want the empty boxes. We want something else. Something else that the world has to offer. I know that that's so easy for us as sinful people to do, because constantly even our conversations in churches among church members often have nothing to do with Christ. They have everything to do with everything else. And this last year has been one of those examples. For me as a pastor, I could probably count on one hand the amount of conversations I've had that have actually centered around Christ this year. Most of them have centered around viruses or political issues or social issues, but they haven't been Christ-centered. And we neglect a great salvation when other things are allowed to step in front of it, to become bigger than it, when we want the empty boxes rather than the gift God intended for us to receive. We've been talking about drifting and paying attention over the last 2 weeks, and these words are used here in these passages, but the strongest word maybe here is this neglect. Well, because it's so easy to do. And even in our personal relationships, none of us wants to feel taken for granted, neglected by our partner or by our loved ones. And God doesn't want that either. So we're going to read our verses, then we'll pray and get into the meat of our message for today. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord and was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed by His will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we read these passages. We understand the importance. Lord, I pray that today we don't find ourselves neglecting this great salvation. Help us, Lord, to appreciate it, to prioritize it, to put it in front of us.
And Lord, more than anything, help our hearts to be receptive to your gift in the way that it deserves to be received. Lord, we love this holiday. We get to show love and appreciation for our loved ones. And Lord, today I pray that through this message, we show our heart and love and appreciation towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word neglect can be defined either as a verb or as a noun. You can find these definitions for it: to give little attention or respect, or to disregard, to leave undone or unattended, especially through carelessness. Or as a noun, it's an act or an instance of neglecting something, the condition of being neglected. But when you look up the biblical term, which is amaleo, that's how you pronounce it, but it says to not think about and thus not respond appropriately to. We can see in that definition that this word carries more meaning than even our English version of it. Because it means to not even think about, that it's an afterthought or a second thought, something that comes to mind almost incidentally. It's part of the reason why we talked about drift or pay attention, and these verses are there with this neglect, because if we drift, we just kind of aimlessly drift. You don't purposefully drift, you aimlessly drift. You just fail to think about what you're doing or where you're at or where you're going. You don't even have touchstones that you're looking at anymore. The way you drift out to sea is you just quit watching the shore. You quit paying attention. You just relax. You just don't think about it. When we talked about paying attention, it was because we need to be intentional. As believers, we have to intentionally find a way to engage with God so that we don't drift with the current of this world, which will always take us away from God. Which means those moments that we just disregard or we just don't think about it, we drift. You never just don't think about it and stay still. The current of this world goes away from God. So if you aren't actively pursuing God, you are drifting away from Him. At varying rates, in varying ways. But don't doubt the fact that you are drifting from Him when we neglect such a great salvation as we have been given. This is kind of these first four verses are kind of a classic, if this is true, then this must be even more true type of an argument. In philosophy or apologetics, it would be kind of a, if this true, this more true, is kind of how they classify it. I'll give you an example. I love cheesecake, and I love dark chocolate. So if you have cheesecake with dark chocolate, I'm going to love it even more, right? I love travel, and I love my wife. If I get to travel with my wife, I love it even more. In this instance, angels had delivered all of these different prophetic aspects of the Old Testament, had filled in much of the law for the Jews, and if they listened to those words, because Jesus is even greater than angels, they should listen to Him even more. And so should we. It's basically like this. If neglecting the words of angels was bad, then neglecting the words of Jesus was even worse. So when we read about this great salvation of ours, sometimes we can come away with a list of things we must do. And we focus on those things. So I'll do these things, but we forget about who it is. It's like understanding it this way. If neglecting the instruction for salvation was bad, how much worse was neglecting the means of that salvation? It means that we have in the Old Testament this understanding that we need to draw closer to God, that we need to and meditate on His Word day and night. We have all of these things that point towards a coming salvation, a means that is to come. They're not the means themselves, they're instructions about salvation. Then here comes Christ, enters the scene. Christ is the means for us to be saved. If we ignore the means, but pay attention to the instructions over here, we're still not achieving salvation. We haven't achieved it. We haven't received the gift that we were actually intended to get. It's a little like my kids, you know. We saved it till the last. It was supposed to be the great gift. They knew a big gift was coming. I had been telling them there was a big gift was coming. And then they unwrapped it. And it just wasn't that important. They neglected it. They rejected the gift. And the giver. And that's what they mean by don't neglect. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? So what is this salvation that it talks about? Well, in Romans 5, 8, and 9 it says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Means that while we were still doing everything wrong, while we were going away from Him, like the song just a few minutes ago, while we were His foe, He fought for us. While we didn't want anything to do with Him, He wanted something to do with us and died to prove it and died for us. "Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God." We touched about this a little bit last week, but it's important to understand that the wrath of God had to be satisfied. And Christ does that. His blood did that. Because He died for us, the wrath of God is assuaged, put aside, done away with. John 3:16 through 18. We talked about this last week too. And like I said then, 3:16 is an often quoted verse, but 17 and 18 carry a tremendous amount of weight for our salvation, and they're often not as quoted. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And we're all extremely grateful for that. Or I hope we are all extremely grateful for that. But then on 17 it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Why does it say He didn't come to condemn the world? The reason why is because the world was already condemned. The curse was pronounced in Genesis 3. It didn't need to be pronounced when Christ arrived. Christ came to remedy the curse of Genesis chapter 3. He came to be the way to escape the curse, the fall, the sin of man. "But in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We say we are saved from sin when you understand this salvation, but that's only really part of the story. We are saved from the wrath of God toward sin. That's what we're saved from. We're saved because sin must be punished. We're told that in Scripture over and over and over again. And it was punished. It was punished in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we have Christ as our covering, now we can escape the punishment of sin. Such a great salvation we have. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. He took my sin, your sin, on Him. He became our sin." so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ takes our sin, took the punishment, bore the brunt of the wrath of God on the cross for us, and in exchange hands us his righteousness, and that is now what covers us as believers, and we can stand before God redeemed and restored, forgiven, sons and daughters of the King, because of what Christ did. We dare not neglect such a great salvation. These passages from Isaiah 53, it's 1 through 11. These passages, Isaiah itself in general, is a book that oftentimes, even in Jewish teachings to this date, are not as well taught because they realize where these verses point. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no former majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Brings to mind when they were looking at the cross and saying, he says he's the Son of God, he's here to be the Savior. Save yourself, come down off that cross. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for our guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper his hand, and out of his anguish, the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteousness, and he shall bear their iniquities. Or as 2 Corinthians put it, he who knew no sin became sin, so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us not be found neglecting such a great salvation as that. It's as if we were standing before God ready to receive the punishment we were due, and God, Jesus himself steps in front of us. The writer of Hebrews is trying to help believers understand exactly what God has accomplished through the punishment that fell on Christ for us. This is not primarily an evangelistic message here in Hebrews. It's more a discipling one in nature. The writer wants us to grow in our understanding of perseverance, holiness, gratitude by developing an even greater understanding of exactly what Christ has done for us and what has been accomplished through Christ's death. Remember the story from the intro of this message. If this great gift of God, if his Son was gifted to us for the deliverance of the wrath of God against sin, what does it say about our heart condition if we neglect that gift? When my kids neglected or rejected the gift that I gave, it hurt. More than that, it revealed that the gift was more for me and not for them. They just didn't see any need or any desire in it. I pray that's not the way that we accept Christ. Imagine if it was. Imagine if it was some kind of haphazard, offhanded, it doesn't even deserve our full attention. If we acted as if it was just another gift and not the gift. If we were to neglect such a great salvation as that, what would be our end? Just look at the description offered in the verses for next week. Hebrews 5:2-5-11 says, "For it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him, Jesus, for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet.'" Never were the angels given that type of dominion or category. "Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. Not only do we have such a great salvation, it's entrusted to a Lord that can hold it, that can keep it. Because nothing is outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Because the wrath of God had to be assuaged. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." This gift deserves our full attention. And too often, we do not give it our full attention. I'm not sure we could ever really measure how often we fall short in truly appreciating the gift that we have been given, the salvation that we have received through Christ. I used the analogy yesterday in a funeral setting that it's like we all are in this boat going down a river headed for deadly falls, because the current of this world does take us away from God, taking us straight to our condemnation, straight to hell. We have no way to save ourselves, no way at all. And God steps out onto the bank and throws us a rope, and the rope is Jesus Christ, and we can choose to neglect it and meet our end, or we can choose to grab a hold of it and find salvation. May we not be found neglecting such a great salvation as that. Such a great salvation is available to you today if you don't already know it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. I thank you for the gift that you have given us. Lord, I thank you that your salvation is available to anyone today that will receive it. Lord, I pray your conviction, your compelling, the Holy Spirit is working in lives right now to bring them to faith in you. And I pray, Lord, that today is the day they respond to it. But Lord, I also pray that we as believers, that today is the day we turn our attention back to you where it belongs. Help us, Lord, to focus fully on you and not to neglect such a great salvation as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's something that you would like to pray about, these steps will serve as an altar. You can feel free to come down here and pray. If you'd like me to pray with you, you can come forward and I'll do that as well. If you choose to stay where you're at, still be praying about where your full attention is, and whether or not you are giving God the attention he deserves and the salvation that he's gifted you, if you're receiving it in the way you should have, with the heart that you should, I'd ask you to pray for those in our congregation that are experiencing loss and sickness, and we have plenty of that going around right now in our church. And also just to pray, Lord, or you pray Lord's blessing on our church as we move forward, just mainly because all of us at times, and particularly over the last few months, have been very distracted. Help us to bring our attention back to him.